how do you, as Gary Flynn, stay on top of or ahead of the trends? Is it through travel? Is it through conferences? Is it canvassing? All the things.
Yeah, it's a bit of all of that. So I rely a lot on my my vendor community. I rely a lot on my store friends in other locations. We've got some of the other store owners and I kind of, we conference with each other quite often just to say, you know, how's business? How are things going? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What do you think about this brand? What do you think about that brand? How are you dealing with tariffs? How, you know, all of those kind of questions that come up. It's nice to have a sounding board because you can't possibly come up with the right answer every time on your own.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Retail Refined, a market scale podcast with your host, me, Melissa Gonzalez. Today, I have Gary Flynn on with us as our special guest. He is the co-owner and CEO of M. Dumas & Sons. He's also a industry veteran when it comes to retail, having begun his career early at Nordstrom at the age of 18. With that, I'm going to say you probably have the most beautifully merchandised closet that I could think of. He's always been drawn to style of the South, and this brand is a really good articulation of that. So we're going to dig into everything with him about retail, about owning a company, about understanding trends in the consumer, and really what sets them apart, especially in the Charleston market. So Gary, thank you so much for being on with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah. Well, look, you started your career in retail at just 18 years old with Nordstrom, which I think is such an amazing place to kind of immerse yourself and get started in the industry. And now after that, holding roles at Hugo Boss and Samsung. Let's start with that. Let's talk a little bit about your experience and how did each of these experiences shape your leadership style and your vision for retail today?
Yeah, great. So Nordstrom was a fantastic career for me. I was there for 27 years, so I feel like it was almost its own career.
Which is pretty standard at Nordstrom, I feel like. They do have some lifers there.
That's true. Very true. And, you know, I got the full experience there. I started, you know, unloading trucks and picking up hangers and changing light bulbs while I was going to college. And then I got into kind of management in the back of house for a little while I was still going to college. And I kind of fell in love with what the company was, what the company stood for and the people involved. And so I decided to say, I'm going to give my career a shot here at Nordstrom. And so I stepped down from a management position in the back of the house and started selling. And then I got promoted to assistant management and then management and then to buying. And I went through the whole whole chain. And at the end, I was a national merchandise manager. So I got a lot of amazing experiences there. And I moved all over the country. I picked them up in Southern California. I moved to Minneapolis to open up the Mall of America Mall. Then I moved to Chicago and then back to California and up to Seattle and down to Dallas and then back up to Seattle and got a great experience top to bottom. And then from there, that's when I moved to New Jersey, was to join Hugo Boss based out of New York. And my role there was, I was in charge of retail merchandising for North America and South America. So very cool job, great experience there too. I got to see, you know, more, you know, I got to go into Canada a number of times. I got to go to Mexico. I got to go down to Brazil. And then going back and forth to the home offices in Germany, which was really cool. And then from there, I joined Samsung, and boy, Samsung is an amazing operation based in Seoul, Korea. A whole different product category than what I was used to. You know, we're talking cell phones and washers and dryers and TVs and all the stuff that they make. And I was in charge of retail merchandising for the United States for that. And that was, like I said, a big learning curve, but really, really cool. And got to go back and forth to Korea a couple of different times and really, really enjoyed that as well. And I'd say all that I experienced in all three of those places, you know, were quite a bit different than in a single store kind of an operation, because when I joined Dumas, we only had the one location. And yet those experiences brought a perspective to the store here that you wouldn't get if you just were, you spent your whole career in this store. So, and that's my business partner, David Dumas. He spent almost all of his career here at M. Dumas & Sons. It's his grandfather's business. It was his parents' business. It's his business now. But the whole reason that I came on board was, unfortunately, David had lost his vision. And so he couldn't see anymore and couldn't do what we do on the day-to-day here any longer. So he, instead of deciding to sell it or close it or whatever, he decided to take on a partner. And I was lucky enough to be chosen for that. So all of those experiences I had from, like I said, unpacking trucks and cleaning restrooms and, you know, you do it all as a business owner in a small environment, right? So, I had walked a mile in almost all of those shoes. So it was really kind of rewarding for me to come up back full circle and be able to do everything all as one again and not be in a corporate type position, but a boots on the ground kind of position.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's an incredible journey. And that's so great that you could help alongside and with this family business. So I think what you touched upon too is so important. I think having the opportunity to see so many different facets of the organization at Nordstrom and then at Hugo Boss and at Samsung gives you such a holistic point of view of thinking about retail and the consumer and merchandising and how it all flows together. You know, I can imagine that that's helping what you bring to the table here. How have you seen, right, given that you have such a long history in retail and spending time in that more department store format and then multi-brand format, right, and then singular brand and then how you are today. And I think it looks like you're sitting back the house right now. I don't know if I'm assuming that.
Yeah, I'm in my office, and my office is a bit of a war room. So I've got there's a whole big cork board back here that I pin my marketing calendar to and our truck show calendar to, but I also have known to put up all my swatches for the season for tailored clothing goes on the wall, so we're not duplicating ourselves, that we've got color balance and size balance and all of that. So it's definitely a work in progress kind of room. There's always some sort of crazy project going on in here. But so yeah, all of the different things that I've been able to do, it's really applied well here because Charleston has evolved and changed so much over the decades and centuries, which is what I've been doing myself, what the Dumas brand has been doing, has continued to evolve, and just try to stay relevant. And so having this outside perspective, that's kind of been our latest evolution is, you know, bringing some newness to the mix of brands and to the merchandising and how we display things and how we talk about things. It was a nice update for us to kind of take a new step and go into a new direction. And thankfully, it's been working out well. Hopefully, it will continue to do so because I'm a passionate believer in evolution. You know, evolve or die is, you know, kind of a dramatic way of saying it. But in reality, if you're not moving forward, but your customers are, you're going to become irrelevant very, very quick. I mean, the speed of which things change now is lightning fast. And your customer knows more about what your product mix is in your store sometimes than you do, or about the details of a particular brand because they're a very big fan of a particular brand. And so they go deep into it and really understand what the brand stands for. And, you know, when you do business with 100 brands in our store like we do, you know, sometimes there's a customer who might know more about a brand you're doing business with than you do. And you better be okay with that.
Yeah, it is an evolving time in that aspect. The consumer is more aware and educated than ever before. And so the expectation in store is, you know, different and higher expectation than they had in the past. What are your methods? How do you, as Gary Flynn, stay on top of or ahead of the trends? Is it through travel? Is it through conferences? Is it canvassing? All the things.
Yeah, it's a bit of all of that. So I rely a lot on my my vendor community. I rely a lot on my store friends in other locations. We've got some of the other store owners and I kind of we conference with each other quite often just to say, you know, how's business? How are things going? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What do you think about this brand? What do you think about that brand? How are you dealing with tariffs? How, you know, all of those kind of questions that come up. It's nice to have a sounding board because you can't possibly come up with the right answer every time on your own. And so you need to have outside perspective in order to make the right decision. And our customer base has dramatically changed. Not only has Charleston's population changed, which has been a rapid, rapid increase from all different parts of the country, a lot of it from the north, northeast and Midwest, but from all over the place. And so the customer that's walking through our store, you know, as I like to say, our customer comes to Charleston. If they've moved to Charleston or they're visiting Charleston, they're coming with a taste of where they're used to, what they're used to. And they're not necessarily looking for a Southern gentleman's kind of, you know, mix of brands or colors or styles. They kind of like what they like already. So you want to make sure you're reflecting as much of your community as you can. Now, you can't be all things to all people, but, you know, you do when you have a big net like we have and a big store. We've got about 9,000 square feet and lots of different styles and different looks in the store, from very, very casual to, you know, something you wear to the beach to something you could wear on the, on the red carpet at the Oscars if you needed to. So we're always kind of trying to update each of those areas so that we can stay as relevant as we can.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so you talk about an interesting dynamic to maintain. You know, we're always looking at, and I think especially to a few dynamics. There's the heritage of the brand that people, right, expect. There's the locality of where you are in Charleston. But there's also a spectrum, I'm guessing, that you're serving from a demographic standpoint, age, right? Like Gen Z versus the older generations. And how are you balancing that study? And how are you articulating that with, you know, how you think of design, product, the brands that you're partnering with, and the in-store experience?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there's a couple of ways that we can continue to stay tapped into kind of what's happening with the whatever the young generation is today, right? So that's also evolving all the time. But, you know, a good avenue for that is literally a block away from us is the College of Charleston. And so we get a fair amount of young college kids in the store, male and female. And they come in asking for what they like. And so we're staying plugged in and listening. And I have conversations with customers, or I also make sure I touch base with my team because they're on the floor 24/7. You know, what are you hearing? What do you think we're missing? What are people asking for that we might not have? How can we learn from what the customers are asking us for? And then the other part of it is, you know, trying to have some younger people on our team. We're always kind of make sure that I reflect my community with my sales team. And that means male, female. That means young, old. That means black, white, purple, green, whatever. It's like whoever's, you know, your customer is, you want to make sure that they see a friendly face that they can connect with. And so by that, you get a lot of different perspectives. And our store has to have a lot of different perspectives to be complete. So I try to have this open door communication idea all the time. And if no idea is a bad idea, and we're willing to try almost anything. It'll all sound like cliche, but when you really live that way, it tends to snowball itself a little bit. Like once you say yes to things, more things come your way and more possibilities come your way. And we tend to try to say yes as much as possible so that we can learn something. It may not always be successful, but we're always going to learn something about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you have to have that always learning mentality, and it's great that you're creating a culture of information sharing. The folks on the ground in the store, consumer facing all the time. I mean, that's one of the most critical touch points that you have as a brand. But they're also great sources of information. So it's good that, you know, you have this always learning information loop happening. Two of the brands that caught my attention, you know, that you have curated in the store, Southern Tide and Johnny O. Can you talk a little bit about that? Why does that make sense for your brand, and how you see that in the future evolution?
Sure. Southern Tide was the one we started doing business with first, so I'll speak to that one first. When that brand was just in its very infant stages, meaning one single polo shirt done, one in like I think it was five or six colorways was the original item that started the whole thing. It had the skipjack on the pocket, but it was developed by a guy that was living in Greenville, South Carolina, and he packed up his polo and started driving around the state and trying to sell it. And he walked into the store, and David Dumas saw it and said, "Yeah, okay, let's give this a try. I like the fact that it's here in the state. I like the fact that you're new and that you're trying to do something. Let's get going." And David worked with the brand multiple times a year on telling them what he felt like he could sell from that brand if they had it. And he helped kind of help them blossom into a brand as opposed to just a product. And so once that happened, the business got really big here in the store. At one point, it was our number one selling brand in the store. And at that point, as the brand got bigger, as most brands like to, they decided they wanted to get into retail. But originally they wanted to do it with partners. And so that's how we got our Southern Tide store 8 years ago now, 7.5 years ago, was by being a partner store with them. So we are the only store in their fleet that is allowed to say that it's a Southern Tide store by M. Dumas & Sons. Most of all their partner stores all just say Southern Tide. But they felt strong enough about our brand name recognition in our market and the legitimate and how we could like legitimize that for them that they allowed us to put our name on the building too. And so I thought that was really unique and cool. And so they were willing to partner with us like that. And so that's just become a really great relationship. We love the people there. We think they love us too, you know, mostly. And so that's worked well. Johnny O was a similar story, but again, another brand that we've been with for a long time. It predates me being here. I've been here 9 years now, and so Johnny O was already in the store when I got here. But it was in a very small way and just a few items, and it grew and grew and grew. And in the case of why we have a Johnny O store, that kind of came from us from the Johnny O angle, because the hotel in is owned by a local billionaire that happens to have connection to John O'Donnell. And so when the hotel said, "Hey, I'd like to put a store, one of your stores in my hotel," John said, "Okay, well, let me talk to my team and I'll get back to you." And they said, "Well, if we're going to put a store in Charleston, we got to talk to Gary first and see if he wants to do it with us." And so I did. And then the rest is history there. And that brand is on fire. I mean, they are going in the right direction, and I'm super proud to have a store with them as well. I have it in three of my locations. So I have a store, and then I've got it in both of the Dumas stores, and it's phenomenal and doing great.
Well, that's great. I think that's a strategic approach to expansion as well. You know, there's brands that are on aligned with yours and you know, similar customer base, but it's synergistic. And, you know, I mentioned when we first started talking, I'll always have kind of a special spot for Johnny O, having worked with John O'Donnell when they like were first launching. We worked together in 2009, 2010. So a very long time ago. And it's great to see their continued evolution in the industry.
It's 20-year anniversary, believe it or not.
What did you say?
I said next year is their 20-year anniversary.
Oh yeah, like crazy, so yeah. Crazy. Where do you see, you know, your brand continue to evolve? Right, where is the Dumas brand going? We've talked a little about the evolution since inception. You joining, you know, second store, working with Southern Tide and Johnny O. How do you see the role evolving over the next 5 to 10 years, right? Like looking ahead, seeing the customer that's rapidly evolving. If you had a crystal ball, what are some of the things that you think are on the horizon?
So I think a lot of it is going to be refining some of the things that we're seeing doing well right now and seeing how big can be with some of these things. One big evolution that we have had since, I'd say over the last 7 years or so, is really jumping in with both feet into Italian luxury in the stores, in the store, the main store, the King Street store. And that has exploded and has done exceedingly well, way, way bigger than my wildest dreams. And what that told me was that my core customer, we just kind of became a little bit more important to my core customer, because they were appreciating and finding these brands when they were traveling elsewhere, but they couldn't find them here. So they were shopping some of the brands that I brought in New York City or in Paris or wherever they happened to be traveling, and now they could find it in their own hometown. And so my share of wallet went up with some of my best customers, which is never a bad thing. And then, you know, that has kind of snowballed into a whole luxury kind of component for us. And so, you know, our average retail prices have gone up, and our average ticket sales have gone up. And all of those metrics that you measure your business on have been pretty exciting to go through over the course of the last 7 years or so, to the point where, you know, when I first got here, we were selling maybe $1,295 sport coats, which are beautiful, wonderful sport coats. And in a lot of markets, the most expensive coat you're probably going to find. But now we actually carry a brand by the name of Sartorio in the store, which is part of the Keaton family. And it's my number one volume brand in the store. And the average price point on that stuff is like $3,500 for a sport coat. And some of them go up to $5,000. And so now we've even been able to get into the Keaton world and being able to carry some of the Keaton product in the store because of how well we're doing with Sartorio. And that's getting into a whole nother level. We're talking about $10,000, $12,000, $14,000 sport coats. So my definition of what is possible at Dumas has completely been changed by how well we've done in these areas. So I think as far as the next 5 years go, to answer your question, I think it's going to be refining that and making sure that we're properly aligned with what's happening in the economy today, or what we think might be happening in the economy in the coming months and in coming years. And, you know, there's a lot of chatter out there in the world right now about a lot of different subjects, and all of that our customer hears and has to live with, right? So how much of it is affecting them and their pocketbook and how much they want to spend on things? I'm paying very close attention to that and making sure that I'm sound from my opening price point to my top price point to make sure that I can still cover the needs and wants of our customer based on what's realistic for them today. And, you know, I'd say over the last 10 years or so, people have been feeling pretty good about things and have been reaching and maybe pushing. And maybe that'll pull back a little bit. I hope not. And I don't necessarily think that that's going to happen, but I have to explore the possibility that it will based on everything that we're hearing now. So staying nimble, staying quick, staying active and listening and learning every single day will continue to serve us well, especially when we kind of have some clouds on the horizon that I'm not sure what to make of yet.
Yeah, no, you said all the right keywords. Like if somebody was to draft a resume, you know, required behaviors that it was populated right there with agile and always learning and all the things. It's critical to have that mentality. Well, I'm excited to continue to watch what you do with the brand and the evolution of it. I'm going to move a little from the store and the brand to you for a second, and looking at life beyond the store, because you're quite an interesting individual, an active individual. So tell me if I have this right. You've run over 100 races, ride motorcycles, and spend time with your family boating. Those are all accurate. So that's, I have a motorcycle license too, but I don't really ride much anymore. And that was for my Vespa. So probably not as daredevil as you. But how do those passions outside of work influence your approach to business and leadership?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've always been a little bit of a risk taker. You know, I've jumped out of airplanes, I've bungee jumped, I've hot air ballooned, I'm a surfer, I've scuba dive, skin dive. I like the adventure part of life. And I think that's just kind of what, how I'm built for whatever reason. And so I've kind of brought that approach to my business life as well, of taking chances and risks and pushing and always kind of being a bit competitive with myself and others. I think retail, especially in a commission environment, tends to breed a little bit of competition. And I think a little bit of competition is healthy. It can get out of control if you're not careful, but a little bit of competition is healthy. And so I think, you know, another thing that has influenced me is my wife and daughter. They keep me humble and keep me active and keep me interested. My wife's got a very full plate on her of hers her own. We now have three horses that we use for my wife's business, which is equine therapy.
Oh, beautiful.
With that came a couple of goats and a property that we have that's about 30 minutes from the house where we're working on that. So there's a lot of diversity in my life, in our lives. And I think that keeps things fresh, doesn't allow things to get stale. And when you have a lot of variety of things to do, it can get a little overwhelming if you're not careful. But boy, I tell you, it makes sure that there's never a dull day. At this morning, I took my daughter to high school for the very first time. Her first day of high school is today, and that's exciting in another way. And she's pushing her boundaries just like I am, and my wife is. And so it just it's kind of who we are, and it's something I try to bring to the team here at all the stores.
I love that. Well, bringing that, I think that dovetailed to one last question I have, and then I'm going to ask you a few rapid fire questions if you're open to it. But because I think you've had this corporate background and now you have an entrepreneurial life, really. And so if you could give, an aspiring retail leader advice, what would that piece of advice be?
Well, I think if you're just getting into retail, I would say, make sure you're all the way in because it's not easy. Make sure you really love it because there's a lot of hours involved in it. You have to be available and ready to go for the hours that your customer wants you to be available, not necessarily what works for you in your personal life. And so some people come into retail and go, I'm not so good about this whole every Saturday thing and, having to be a part of weekends all the time. My friends are doing their, you got to really be a passionate person towards this business model to make it work for you. And if you're not, that's fine. Just go find something else that works for you. But when you're in it, you got to be in it. And, but it can be so rewarding. And because I think, not a lot of jobs, other than things that you really do with your hands, can you really see immediate results for what you're working on? And you can in a store environment, whether that means, you're unpacking new product and putting it on the floor, that changed the way the floor is and you have to re-merchandise things and you can see immediately that impact and you go, wow, that looks so much better than it did just 30 minutes ago. I'm so glad I did that. Or you have a great conversation with one of your teammates and they pick up a couple of things about it and they say, I want to use that with my customer next time and see how that goes. It works. You can see these things and you can help coach and mold and train people right in front of you. It's so rewarding when you see somebody start blossoming. So I just, the advice part there, to answer that part of the question is, do it with your whole heart and mean it. And really bring it and don't just kind of sleepwalk through it because the customer can tell, your team can tell. And if you bring your full authentic self to work every day, it's infectious and people want to be a part of it. And so whatever that self is, it doesn't, if mine works for me, yours will work for you. And it'll draw people to you that, that can appreciate that. And once you've got a team together and they're all marching in the right direction and doing the right, doing the thing that you're trying to accomplish, look out and get the hell out of their way. Let them do it. That's another thing. It's a bit of another cliche, but this business has gotten to be too big for me to be able to do everything myself, right? There's no way I can do that. So you have to have a bunch of team members out there doing it for you. And the best ideas come from people who are excited and energetic and loving what they do. And then when you get the heck out of their way and give them the runway to run with it, the ownership that they take in it is going to make it happen so much better than you could ever hope for. So I would just say, surround yourself with people who you really love and empower them to do it and get the hell out of their way.
I love that. It's a It's a constant thing I think leaders have to remind themselves of, but because you think success is in the doing, but at a certain level, success is in how much you could be the coach and the mentor and let, you know, others do. So thank you for sharing that. Well, speaking of bringing your full self, I'm going to ask you some of these rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Okay. Favorite season for menswear?
Okay. Fall because of the look of it and the taste of it and the texture and the layering and all that. But to wear, it's got to be spring.
It's got to be spring. I know. Those are two good seasons, though.
The color of spring is what I love. I love, like, you can't tell now I'm wearing a boring navy. It's not boring, by the way. It's a beautiful navy jacket. But it's, but yeah, color is what really drives me.
Okay. Sneakers or loafers?
Sneakers.
Sneakers, yes. Favorite race you ever ran in?
The New York Marathon.
Okay. And then last one, what is your go-to boat snack?
Boat snack. Ooh, good question. I guess I would say, well, the boat has a little built-in cooler in it. So just loading the cooler up with a variety of beverages. I tend to drink more on a boat than eat on a boat because I don't like
good thing you're
mess.
Not driving the boat.
Yeah. So I snack wise, I guess I'd say a Coors Light.
Okay, that's a good snack. You know, I didn't say liquid or solid, so that works. Well, Gary, thank you so much for spending the half an hour with us. I know the audience learned a lot and appreciate your inspirational style and always being forward thinking. So next time I go into Charleston, I'm going to have to give a visit, and everybody listening will have to do the same. So
Me
again,
too.
This is Gary.
Please introduce yourself when you come in. I'd love to meet you.
Absolutely will do. And again, this is Gary Flynn. He is the co-owner and CEO of M. Dumas & Son. So thank you so much.